it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and we are recording a podcast. Matt Hartwell, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling great, buddy. We were talking about it right before we jumped on the show. I've been having a lot of family stuff, you know, with as far as just anniversaries and my daughter's birthday and my wife's birthday, Valentine's Day. So February, always a busy month for me, but happy to be here on a Super Bowl Sunday. When our listeners tune in, obviously it'll be Monday, but they get the gist of it.
Well, yeah, they have the benefit of knowing who won the Super Bowl. So you and I get to talk about it and then look like idiots or geniuses, depending on how it plays out. So we'll go ahead and do some Super Bowl predictions at the end of the episode. So if anybody wants to hear about that, we've got some Michigan Wolverines playing in the Super Bowl. So we can talk about that in a little bit, but I think the most relevant thing for us to really dive into is the coaching staff, right? I mean, that is what the news has been all about. And so you've got, well, first off, let's lead with the Jim Harbaugh stuff, actually. I had that a little later in my notes, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh is like that long-term girlfriend that you just love. And then you have this mutual breakup and you're like, you know what? I love her anyway. I want her to do well. And then you find out she's been dating your best friend and you're like, you know what? That's fine. You know, Jesse Minter, he was my best friend. Like I'm going to just like be the bigger man here. I'm not going to let this get me upset. And then you find out she's been sleeping with every one of your buddies in the group chat that you're in with your buddies. And you're like, hold on a second. Like now things feel personal. That's what Jim Harbaugh is doing with this coaching staff. It's like he took Jesse Minter and it was like, okay, you expected him to take somebody. Now he's cleaned out the whole cabinet. The entire defensive side of the ball is gone. Ben Herbert, right? Like it's getting a little bit excessive. I'm not mad at him. I understand this is how it works, but I mean, come on. There's like nobody left. Like, you know, give us somebody, Jim. Come on now.
Yeah, and absolutely. And just to your point, it's been just like a slow bleed out of just gut punches, just right there. You know, you lose Minter. I mean, that's kind of a foregone conclusion from the very beginning. You know what I mean? No surprises as far as that was concerned. But, you know, after the induction of Sharon Moore as the head coach, then like a day or two after, you get Ben Herbert, right? Which that one really hurt. And then after that, you know, you get Elston, and then you get Klinkscale, right? Who, like, the word is that he had a meeting with the players, informed them that he was going to be staying, and then said that he was leaving all over again. So that was even more of a just roundhouse. So it's just been a real roller coaster ride of hopes and dreams that we'd be able to keep like a lot of these heavy hitter coaches intact. But nonetheless, that's not the case. And we are where we are.
Well, Sharon Moore made his first big splash with not Joe Cullen, who many people thought he was going to go after, the current defensive line coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, who, of course, will be coaching in the Super Bowl today. But Don Wink Martindale was hired as the defensive coordinator. That's a pretty big hire, honestly. I know there's some people that are hating on it. There's the Don Brown comparisons, which to me, they're just lazy. I think it's the people that have like the Mike Ditka gruff exterior, grumpy old man thing going on. He does look like kind of a tough son of a bitch, you know? you look at this old guy. Here's some things I like about Wink. Right off the bat, just in my preliminary research and what I already know about him. He started off as a high school coach. I kind of like that. I like when a guy was not gifted, you know, an NFL job. He went from high school and worked his way all the way up to the premier positions that he's had. He's a Ravens guy, of course. We know that. He's been credited with creating at least a portion of the defense that our last two defensive coordinators run, Mike McDonald and Jesse Minter. So there's some overlap there to help with the transition. He's a linebacker guy, which to me is just kind of exciting, you know, having a real strong linebacker guy there with Ernest Hausman and Jayshon Barham. And then you look at when he was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, he was there for 4 years from 2018 to 2021. 2018, number two scoring defense in the NFL. Number one in yards. 2019, number three scoring defense, number four yardage defense. So top five, first 2 years. In 2020, number two scoring defense, number seven yardage defense. So the guy's killing it. 3 years in a row, three amazing defenses in Baltimore. Now in 2021, they fell into the bottom half of the league. Apparently it was a mutual decision between him and John Harbaugh to part ways. I know Martindale expressed some interest at becoming a head coach or maybe doing some other things. And then John Harbaugh hired Mike McDonald from Michigan. So there's this big kind of incestuous circle that's going on here. And then when Wink went to the Giants and the last 2 years he's been a coach, he had a pretty terrible defense. There's really no way around it. They were ranked in the bottom half of the NFL. They were especially gruesome this past season. So interpret that how you want. I interpret that the Giants were just kind of a dysfunctional coaching staff with Brian Dabble over there. I don't think that he was set up for success. This is a guy that's clearly a good defensive mind and a good defensive coach. So I like the hire.
Yeah, I also like the hire, Mike. You know, at first was a little hesitant, you know, because you hear the Don Brown comparisons and what have you. But if you really dig a little bit deeper into this thing, I think it's not quite as simple as some are making it out to be when you're making that kind of comparison. I mean, you've already cited, you know, some great numbers. And there's really three primary things that Wink didn't have working in his favor as far as trying to land another NFL job, right? And one of those is age. You know, he's getting older. The NFL is definitely a place where, you know, they're looking for younger hungry, fast coaches, you know, that are just of that general age group that aren't quite as old as Wink, you know. So he had that going against him. Another is reputation for just being kind of strong in his belief system. You know, you've already mentioned differences with Brian Daboll, and there was that issue where apparently he cussed him out for firing a linebacker's coach, you know. So he also has that working against him. And then the third, in my opinion, is really just the tenure with the Giants. You know, if you go back into this thing, into his history with the Baltimore Ravens and what he was able to do with that franchise, there really isn't a gruesome ending to that saga, right? So, like, you can't really find too many negative scratches against him whenever you're digging up, like, numbers and record in Baltimore and things like that. The Giants were just a dumpster fire, right? You know, they suffered from a lot of injuries. And that defense, you know, for how well that they were able to perform under Martindale, was really never able to even scratch the surface, just because they were being heavily overworked by the offense's lack of production, lack of ability to attain first downs, things like that, you know. So you honestly can't look at Wink in a microscope just for his previous 2 years with the New York Giants, when this guy's had so much success doing what he's able to do, and really only one example of negative success, you know. So I think this is a hire that Michigan fans, those that aren't, really just need to give a chance and get behind and see what he's able to do. You know, I think that he's really an intelligent guy. If you listen to a lot of his clips, if you listen to a lot of his post-game interviews, the guy knows what he's talking about. Obviously is the architect, you know, is kind of the way that it's being phrased online, of the McDonald Minter defensive tree, you know what I mean? So give this guy a chance. Let's see what he's able to do with Michigan's defensive playmakers, which, like, there's no shortage of those on the playing field. So I think these are all things that you have to take into account and think that there might be some good things that this guy can do within this defense.
Well, there's no shortage of good players on the defense right now. I think, and we'll talk about this in coming weeks, we want to make sure that that stays the case, right? Some of these coaches leaving begs the question, are we going to lose any of these guys? It feels like Sherrone Moore has a good approach and a good connection with the team right now. Not to mention, they just want a natty. And so I think a lot of people are feeling good in Ann Arbor. But, you know, this last second clink turnaround move, it makes me a little bit nervous about not just that secondary, but everybody on the defense. And so there's a lot of questions about, like, what happened. It was being reported kind of under the table that Clink was going to stay. A lot of people were tweeting out, you know, Wink and Clink memes, and I was one of them. I was coming up with, I was ready for the new turnover celebration, the Wink and Clink drink, where after every turnover that they just ran over there and somebody, you know, shotgunned a beer or something. We're still working out the details, but we will never know what Wink and Clink. Yeah. We will never know what Wink and Clink would have been. But I think that actually Wink might be the reason that Clink didn't stick around. And here's what I mean by this. So Steve Klinkscale was the co-defensive coordinator. That was his title last year. I think some of us forget that he was, am I wrong about that, Matt? I feel like he had like a co-title.
He was the co-defensive coordinator.
Right? But we all just kind of knew it was Jesse Minter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I wasn't wrong about that. So I think that Clink was feeling that he would either retain that title or, even better, become the sole defensive coordinator. I think he was willing to not be the sole defensive coordinator, but Wink Martindale was not going to come from the NFL, you know, with his name, his experience, his prestige, and come be a co-defensive coordinator in college. That's just my theory. right? That's just my theory. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not an ego thing, but my bet was that Wink Martindale was coming, and the agreement was he's going to be defensive coordinator, period. And then Klink realized, I'm going to have to take a step back. And I think that's when he said, you know what? Let me give old Jim Harbaugh a call and see if that offer's still on the table. And so that's my theory. I have no idea. You know, I don't know anything about it, but I started to look at the pieces of the puzzle and I was like, you know what? I bet Wink just didn't want to be a co-defensive coordinator. And I bet Klink, you know, didn't want to just be a secondary coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not one of those that's of the belief that everyone in the media, all the insiders, were just completely wrong on this. You know, it seems like Klink took it upon himself to tell certain members of the team that he was going to be staying, or whether he told it to everybody, I don't know. What it was reported that he had already spoken to the team and said that he was planning on staying. So for him to come back around and say that he's leaving just a day on the heels of when Michigan makes this big hire of Wink Martindale, you know, I don't think it takes a genius to kind of put those pieces of the puzzle together. And furthermore, I'll just say that if the only way that we were ever going to keep Mike Elston or Steve Klinkscale was promoting them to defensive coordinator, to which both of them collectively have very little experience, you know, under that role, I just think it might just be the way it's supposed to be for them to go join Jim Harbaugh, you know, because in my mind, and I think in the minds of a lot of people, Sharon Moore was doing what he needed to do and what he would be expected to do in that situation, which is look for somebody that is familiar with the scheme that Michigan wants to run, that's experienced, that is able to confidently implement that in this team. And whether or not there's pushback on that, you know, I think that it might just be time for them to go join Jim Harbaugh in the NFL, you know, because you can't really guarantee that spot to either of them just based off of the little bit of experience that they have in the system after not running anything. Michigan's already done enough promoting from within that we're going to be experimenting with next year. I think this is just a position that you, or a coordinator position that you needed to make a good experienced hire in, and he did just that. So it just is what it is.
Well, Sharon made another interesting hire this week that I'm starting to like more and more. So he hired Sean McGee back from Chicago. He was a GM at Chicago, I believe, 2017 to 2022. He was at Michigan. His whole deal is roster construction, aiding off-field activities, liaison between the head coach and the rest of staff. Like, he's a GM kind of a guy. So he comes on to Michigan as the general manager. And I love that hire. And to be honest with you, I'm one of these people that was kind of like, wait, general manager? I had to start like kind of figuring out, like, is this a thing that we already had? Is this a thing that we do? And so I actually looked up, there was a job posting for the general manager position at Michigan. I looked up, like, what are some of the duties here? And so, and I haven't read this yet, so I'm going to read through a couple of these with you right now so we can think of, like, is this a good hire by Sharon Moore or not? Work collaboratively with the head coach, assistant coaches, and recruiting personnel staff in the identification, evaluation, and recruitment of prospective student athletes. That sounds like recruiting right there. Work with the head coach on roster construction. Identify future needs of the program. Oversee on-campus recruiting staff's organization, scheduling and logistics of all official and unofficial visits of prospective student athletes. Man, I'm liking the sound of this, right? Really being organized. This is not Jim Harbaugh drinking a glass of milk in the backyard of some recruit with, you know, in his socks or whatever. It sounds like Sharon's taking a very calculated approach with this guy. Identify and recruit collegiate student athletes that have entered the NCAA transfer portal. So we got a guy that's systematically looking at the portal. Establish relationships with student athletes and their prospective student athletes and their families. There's a lot more here. I'm gonna skim through just to give us the abridged version. Manage all matters regarding high school coaching contacts, assist with summer football camps, liaison with NFL scouts, recruiting budget, NIL activities, NIL resources, making sure we're adhering to the policies and procedures of NCAA bylaws. That's a pretty big one right there, right? So if another violation comes down, we know who to look at. And Sharon Moore can be like, that wasn't me. That was my guy over there. And then it says other duties as assigned by the head football coach. I think that this is a brilliant hire. Matt, what do you think?
I think it's great. You know, it's unfortunate that he comes from a situation, any type of situation with the Chicago Bears, really. But I think it's a great hire. He's already got experience here at Michigan. So, you know, you want a guy that's kind of familiar with how things were and kind of has some idea of how he can expand upon that upon his return. So I think it's a great hire, very experienced. He comes with an excellent reputation. So I'm excited. You know, I'm just excited that there's going to be somebody that's a little bit slick minded that can locate some of these opportunities. Somebody that's sole mission is to, you know, grow the program in NIL, which it kind of seems like if you're looking at the tail end of that list that you were reading off of, and identify some of these recruiting and transfer portal opportunities that Michigan has been missing out on. You know, I'm just going to say during Jim Harbaugh, the first years of Jim Harbaugh's tenure, he didn't not reel in, you know, like some big fish during that time. So I would venture to say that Sean McGee had a hand in a lot of that. And hopefully he's able to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to step it up in all of those categories that I just listed that are his responsibility. Michigan's been finishing in the top five the last 3 years, and they're finishing outside of the top 10, kind of almost outside of the top 15 in recruiting efforts right now. And so it's weird. We know that a lot of that is related to the way some other schools are taking advantage of NIL rules, or I should say lack thereof. So that'll be interesting to see, but it gives me confidence in Sharon's ability to identify what he needs. I think he was thinking outside of the box a little bit there. Maybe even Jim Harbaugh, you know, there's been rumors that Harbaugh has been mentoring him a little bit. Maybe Harbaugh was like, hey, this is the direction that, you know, college athletics is going in. It's time for you to reshape the way that you have this department, you know, structured. So that'll be interesting to see. Now let's think about some possible coaching candidates to fill the vacancies. It appears as though we need a linebackers coach. We need a defensive backs coach, so like a secondary coach. And we need a defensive line coach. That is, if he goes the traditional route for those positions. I did receive a little bit of inside information that there might be some hires coming soon. I think he may have already identified a couple of these guys, but I don't know who they are. But I do know that my source is reputable for sure. I don't know, Matt. Do you have any idea? I have who I would like to see as the defensive line coach, but I want to hear your take. Linebacker, secondary, defensive line. You got any candidates that stick out to you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we can already just wipe Drew Wilkins' name off the board, right? But, you know, I think that was a big one for me. But he's obviously heading to the New England Patriots. Kind of had a reputation of being somebody that was right there with Wink and helping to bring a lot of pressure. So maybe good to go in a little bit slightly different direction to balance that out from Wink. But I'm just going to go right to linebackers is kind of the one that I think makes the most sense. And it's already been talked about quite a bit, but I think you got to consider bringing back George Helo, right? You know, despite the fact that He kind of was a little bitch and went to help Alabama, or tried to go help Alabama, if you will. But I think you got to maybe give him another look, because, you know, another guy that had a lot of experience in this system. I feel like he's almost just like a casualty of fire, you know, when Michigan did let him go after the 2022 season, just because you kind of just had to let somebody go, you know, being that you didn't accomplish your goal back then. So I think it kind of makes sense to maybe bring him back. There's also the facts that he helped recruit Jay Sean Varham to Maryland when he was there. He also helped recruit Ernest Hausman to Michigan and also Jimmy Rolder. So he has some experience with that linebacker core that you're looking to build upon. Might be a good decision to give him a second look right now.
Yeah, you got to think that Wink is going to be involved in the linebacker coach decision, or at least give, you know, his 2 cents to Sharone on that. You know, there's been rumors that Wink's already been in the film room with the defense. They were chopping up film before he even got hired, right? Like, so I almost think he's, you know, he's on the phone like, hey, talk to this guy, talk to that guy. I think he's trying to help Sharone kind of build up a staff here. And at the end of the day, it's up to Sharone more to make those decisions. But I do think Wink Martindale might have some linebacker contacts that he might throw in the ring. And who knows, maybe he's connected with George Hilo, and I don't know that. I got a guy on the defensive line that I think is interesting. Now, this was a name that Sam Webb brought up just a couple days ago, and I don't know if there's been any movement since then, but Greg Scruggs is currently the defensive line coach at Washington. Back in 2012, he was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, ended up, you know, had a brief NFL stint, and then became the defensive line coach at Cincinnati. And from there, wiggled his way through a couple NFL jobs where he was most recently, I'm gonna butcher the title, but it was like assistant or associate defensive line coach for, I think, the Jets. And so a couple interesting things about Greg Scruggs. When he was at Cincinnati, he recruited some big name players to go there, including some guys that he actually beat out Michigan for. He got a couple 4-stars while he was at Cincinnati. And clearly, you know, he's a defensive line coach at Wisconsin right now. So clearly he's got his feet wet in that defensive line role. I think he's a guy that Sharone Moore should go look at. I think that somewhere back in Sharone's Louisville days, I think that they crossed paths and I think they're connected. So I think they do know each other. So that's a guy that is intriguing to me, and I'm hopeful that he's talking to.
Yeah, you know, that is kind of a intriguing option from the sound of it. I really didn't have too many ideas off the top of my head, truthfully, but, you know, he sounds like an interesting option for sure.
It's hard to know in the, you know, the coaching search world. It's kind of like recruiting, right? It's like you can pretend to know all the guys that are out there, and it's just like, we just don't, you know, you don't really know who's on the table until somebody reports that, like, okay, Sharone Moore's talking to this guy or that guy, because I can't keep up with every assistant coach on every team in the country. It's just like, I can't keep up with every, you know, cornerback on every high school team in the country. You know, so when these guys emerge, sometimes they come seemingly out of nowhere, but I do think the names that you and I have brought up so far make sense. Do you have any other names that you want to throw around? I don't really know. I think I'm kind of playing a wait and see approach here.
Yeah, you know, to your point, this is kind of a situation that's very fluid, especially with Wink coming in. You really don't know where Michigan's going to look to replace a lot of these guys that they certainly have left to fill gaps for. You know, it's going to be kind of a entirely new defensive look for Michigan in 2024, which is kind of interesting. You know, it should be noted that the transfer portal is still open. You know what I mean? With Jim Harbaugh having left still under 30 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. So if there's guys on Michigan's team that wanted to leave. They could have done so by now. I don't really know if that's so much how it works, that, you know, somebody on a Michigan program that just won the national championship is going to up and dip without any extreme moves. But, you know, I think that it's worth noting that all of them, as far as like a notable player standpoint, have stayed put as of right now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I find that interesting too. And I know there's transfer portal windows, but I do know when you lose your head coach that there's a 30-day window, right? And we haven't lost anybody except for what, Reese Atterbury in that time? I mean, they're like nobody's
Reese Atterbury, you know, a couple other guys maybe that I can't really like remember at this point, which says a lot. So, and you know, I'm not going to read too much into it, but you know, Michigan just put out a video of Justin Tress like going super hard with the guys in the weight room. It looked like you had all of your big players there, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson. The video was like, I thought it was very intentional in like showcasing those main guys to see like despite what everybody's saying, like we're still here. We're still doing the exact same shit we've always been doing, and we're going to get after it in 2024. So I thought that it was worth noting that, you know, you don't see like any guys not participating in that video. Like everybody just looks like they're hungry, focused on moving forward as a team. So, you know, just a little tidbit there.
I haven't seen that video. That's why I was smiling. I am excited. I'm going to look it up right when we're done recording today. Cause I'm interested to get eyes on Justin Tress. And yeah, I think that it does say something, you know, if the big names on the team look invested, like they're still putting in work in Schembechler Hall and everything. So that actually makes me want to talk about Ohio State a little bit. So I'll be honest, Ohio State made a move that appears to be a pretty damn good move. They, you know, so Bill O'Brien just bait and switched them, dipped out, went and took the head coach job at Boston College shortly after taking the offensive coordinator position at Ohio State. So very short-lived stay in Columbus. Honestly, I don't even know if he moved his shit to Columbus. He probably hadn't even moved to the city yet and decided to go to Boston College.
He Dan Enos'd him.
Yeah, seriously. It was short. So now Ohio State was in need of an offensive coordinator, and you know we're Michigan fans, and so we're poking fun at them, and seemingly out of nowhere, they hired Chip Kelly, head coach of the UCLA Bruins, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly with NFL head coaching experience, Chip Kelly. Like, this guy is no slouch. So now Ohio State has seemingly bought all of the best players in the country. They've bought some of the best coaches in the country, and they have no excuse if they lose that game in November this year. Michigan's playing with house money. I think a lot of people are going to pick Ohio State to win that game at the end of next year. But we already know what the guys in Ann Arbor are doing. They are working on blocking. They are working on getting physical in the trenches. They're working on getting grittier, stronger, smarter. And I'm not sure if Ohio State's little dream team they're trying to put together is going to have the chemistry that they need. But I'll be honest, it's a great move. Hiring Chip Kelly is a really good move, so I'm not going to talk shit about it. It's a good hire.
Yeah, it's definitely a good hire. And like, if you're not a hypocrite, you know, like, you're able to say that, like, it's about as good of a hire, at least, as Michigan has made here with Wink Martindale, you know, because Chip Kelly, you can make a lot of negative remarks about his stint with UCLA. You know, they didn't scratch the surface of what a lot of people thought that they could become under him in that short time, as far as just building upon, you know, not having a lot of success. But, you know, I think you take kind of the same situation that you had with Wink, you know, a down couple of years, stepping into a very favorable situation with Ohio State's offense, which doesn't project to be like any form of slouch in 2024. The same kind of with Wink stepping into this role with a really good Michigan defense, you know, almost one that he can't fuck up. So I think just both of these guys, you know, they're going to make for an interesting clash between the two when the game starts to come into focus this upcoming year. And it just got me thinking, you know, after they made that hire, really how different the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is going to look in this new year with these new guys and these new roles with a new playoff format. You know, it's just going to be unlike anything that that we saw before. And really, I'm just grateful that Michigan had a chance to end it on any kind of note at all with just three back-to-back wins. But, you know, you're going to have Sharon Moore, you know, first-time head coach, but obviously he has the win over Ryan Day last year. It wasn't necessarily counted as an official win under his name, but you've got Sharon Moore and Ryan Day officially facing off for the first time. You've got Wink versus Chip Kelly. You've got Kirk Campbell's offensive coordinator debut. You've got two new quarterbacks. So I just think it's going to be crazy. I think the sky's the limit for this rivalry going forward, especially this year with all of these key players in place to do some damage.
Yeah, it's going to look very different. But you mentioned the two head guys are going to be the same. We saw a preview of it last year, Sharon Moore versus Ryan Day. And I guess it depends on what, you know, official record book you're looking at. I always thought that the guy that was the head coach that day gets credit for the win. And so I'm saying Sharon Moore's 1-0 against Ryan Day, right? Like that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'll say. But the, you know what I mean? The haters online will still find a way to say that it officially counted under Harbaugh in the record books. But nonetheless, you know, Sharon Moore pants Ryan Day. He's going to do the same again this year. We know that. So it's just a matter of how he's going to find a way to do it this year in Columbus, I think.
Well, we will, of course, be watching that, and there will be news between now and then, plenty of it and plenty of shit talking between the teams, the coaches, and the fan bases. Let's talk a little bit about Michigan basketball. So earlier in the week, Michigan basketball, number 11, Wisconsin. I mean, they finally put it together, man. Finally put two halves together. They got a win. against number 11 Wisconsin. They're going to turn it around. This is where they get some momentum. Juwan Howard's team doesn't look so pathetic anymore, and maybe they can even get a little winning streak going. And then, nope. I turned on the TV a little bit late against Nebraska, because for the first season ever in my life, I actually sometimes forget that there's Michigan basketball on. That's never happened to me in my entire life. And I turn it on, and they're down like 30 points to Nebraska, and I see that fucking Tamagotchi guy running around just burning us, and I'm like, all right. This is too much to handle. So the one little bright spot of the Wisconsin win, gave us a little bit of hope, or not really. I don't think any of us really had hope, but we thought maybe they're going to win some games. And then sure enough, Nebraska just boat races Michigan.
Well, this one was really unfortunate, Mike, because they played a better game in the second half than they did in the first half, which, like, the first half was just a first half of which, like, I really had never seen before. Like, they were down by as many as 35, 36. I can't even remember. It was really bad during that first half, you know, and they just put themselves in a hole that it would have been impossible to dig out of. You know, I think in the second half, you know, it showed a lot of the real problems within this Michigan team. And I'm just going to pick on like Trey Jackson as an example. You know, he does like one or two things like right a game, which I'm sure is why Juwan Howard wants to have him out there so much. But in the same instance, you know, he'll commit three or four errors, which totally shift any momentum that Michigan possibly has in any moment. You know, like the one where the ball bounced off of his foot out of bounds, you know, or there's just so many things that you can nitpick with this team. Like Olivia Nkamwa, when Michigan finally pulls themselves within 18 and just jacking up a totally nonsensical three and just shifting the momentum back to, you know, it's just all of those little things add up for this Wolverines team over the course of the game. And they just do way too many things that put them in too much of a hole to dig themselves out of. I mean, it's painful.
That's coaching, though. You know, those things that you mentioned are coaching. Even when a guy makes a boneheaded play, like some of those Trey Jackson plays, imagine what John Beilein would do with a guy like Trey Jackson. You know what
I mean?
Well, I mean,
he was like, telling us on the Big Ten Network intermission. Which was also really was. Painful.
Yeah, exactly. They were just like taunting us. I thought that too. It was like, oh, let's cut to John Beilein in the middle of this 30-point Michigan getting waxed game, you know?
One of those things, one of those quote tweets that said, I wonder if he knows that I still miss him, and then tweeted John Beilein like on the court. I was like, oh my God, that is so perfect.
Yeah, it's just this whole program and team needs a big shakeup. Like, obviously, Doug McDaniel being gone for these away games just accentuates all of the problems. Like, you're really not going to win games without your best player and your floor general. But to me, even Doug McDaniel being in this position is coaching, right? Like, these guys... You got to build a culture and coach these guys in a way to where you minimize risk, you minimize boneheaded errors, you have them show up the way that these guys should show up on the floor and off the floor. I mean, Beilein's not perfect. There were guys on Beilein's teams that were, you know, getting in trouble, like Jeff Jackson, the whole Xavier Simpson situation. Like, there were some issues, but at the end of the day, it's about building a culture where you're going to minimize errors and you're going to compete day in and day out. And we're just not seeing that with this staff. And so is Ward Manuel going to give Juwan another season? I don't know. Probably not, but I wouldn't put it past him. So I support Michigan. I support Juwan Howard and I support these players, but something's got to change. And so I am in support of massive action, whatever that might look like.
It's just unfortunate, buddy, because you know, you see that they have the talent and the potential to hang with some of these teams when they're doing the right things. I mean, in that first half, they pulled themselves within 15, you know, and it showed that they could have gotten themselves into that game if they just didn't allow themselves to give up in the first half of the game, you know, which put them in too big of a hole once they decided to turn it around in the second. So it just sucks. You know, they've been in the lead an ungodly amount of times this season. It's one of the most embarrassing stats out there, you know, so it's hard, but you're right. We'll keep supporting them. We'll keep hoping for wins. You know, I think there's like 7 or 8 games remaining in the season. So a lot of time to, you know, do some respectable things in those last few.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath for anything respectable from this Michigan basketball team, unfortunately. All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl, man. Off the top of my head, I think we got 4 guys in it, right? So Ronnie Bell, Jake Moody, Ambry Thomas, and then I want to say Mike Dana on Kansas City. I don't know if I'm leaving anybody out there. Ronnie Bell, I don't even think is active for the game, but he still traveled with the team, so he's out there. Any predictions on what we might see? Maybe a score prediction or what you might think that this game is going to turn out looking like? And keep in mind, our listeners already know what happened.
Yeah, I think Kansas City pulls it out, man. I would love to see, you know, Jake Moody win the Super Bowl in Jake Moody fashion by just hitting a 50-yard banger. I would love to see something like that. But, you know, I think Kansas City's been doing too many things right at the time where it matters the most. And San Fran's just been kind of sketchy to me here in this postseason. Like, they allowed themselves, I know, granted, they came back, but they allowed themselves to fall back big to Detroit, you know, and they weren't doing so great the week before that against Green Bay either. So I think that Kansas City might do what they usually do and capitalize on that. I'm going to hope for the latter, you know, a Jake Moody 50-yard banger to ice that thing. But, you know, we'll see what happens. What about you, my friend?
I'm going to bet on Kansas City. I just don't think that you bet against a guy like Patrick Mahomes. I think when Patrick Mahomes has an improved defense like he does, you know, all bets are off. Kelce and Mahomes, basically, in order to win this game, San Francisco has to take the lead with less than 40 seconds left. Because if you give Mahomes more than 40 seconds to go win the game, he's going to do it, you know? And so, granted, I'm putting my money on Kansas City, but my heart is on Money Moody. If Moody's lining up to win this game with a field goal, I will gladly give up my cash for our man Money Moody to hit a Super Bowl game-winning field goal in his rookie season. He's had a tough year, actually, for a guy that got drafted as high as he did as a kicker. Been kind of a tough year. I would love for him to redeem himself in the Super Bowl, the biggest stage of all, especially because he didn't get to win this national championship with Michigan. And it kind of felt like Moody was like part of the natty run, you know? So I want him to go get himself, you know, who knows, maybe Super Bowl MVP, you know, just Brock Purdy give him like 6 field goals.
What a weird circle, right? You know, Jim Harbaugh leaves the NFL, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers. His protege, Jake Money Moody, enters the NFL at the same time before he's about to finally re-enter back into the NFL, wins a Super Bowl. I don't think you could picture really anything better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a football fan. The college football landscape is changing. You mentioned the 12-team playoff is coming. Harbaugh back with the Chargers, where I think he's going to compete. I think the reason he took that job is he knows this Chargers team can probably go deep into the playoffs immediately. So we're going to see a lot of really fun things happening, you know, in 2024 in football. But, you know, I think that about does it for this week. We're going to have some more news and notes for our listeners next week. That was the Big House Bleachers podcast. I'm Michael Smeltzer. That is Matt Hartwell. As always, go blue.
Go blue.